that was so unexpected, so unheard of, so completely and utterly unique and unfathomable that I can remember the exact date and time that it happened. It was Monday, June 29th at 12:05 p.m. And it was at that time that I found myself in our home completely and utterly alone. There was no family anywhere. And I don't mean no family in the house as in like, oh, Kara and the kids were out playing in the yard. And they'd be back in 5 minutes. Just don't make a noise and enjoy the 5 minutes of peace and quiet. Nor do I mean, oh, you know what, they're out. They're out at the library. They'll be back in 20 minutes, a half hour. And, you know, so I've got a little bit of time. No, I was alone in our home. You see, Felix and Max, they were back home with my parents, enjoying like a little mini vacation together. And since Max and Felix were in good hands, Kara and Penny, well, they decided to head out west to check in with our church family friends, the Dykerts, who had moved out to Colorado. So they went to spend a couple days out with them. And of course, with Kara and Max gone, the cat said, there's nobody I care about here. So she left for 3 days. And she does. She does that when we travel, you know. And so it was just me. Completely and utterly alone. And here's the interesting thing about that statement. As I describe being in our house completely and utterly alone, there are some of you right now, maybe especially at home, with the kids crowded around you on the couch, you're just shedding tears. Tears of joy at the thought of what that might mean for you. Especially tears of joy and hope and longing because you found out that your kids are going to be doing remote learning at least through October. And so that is still an unfathomable hope for you that you would be alone in your house just someday. But I also know that there are many of you out there that are thinking, no, that's not what you want. Because you've said as much to Kara and myself over the years. Usually when you see us like chasing around the kids that are screaming and yelling and fighting, you'll say something like this. You'll say, cherish those moments. Value those times. Listen, before you know it, those kids are going to be up and gone and out of the home, and you'll wish you had them again. And I'll be honest, you know, I had that time completely and utterly alone in the home, and you know, it was nice for about a day. But after that, I'll tell you, I started missing, you know, the noise and the kids and the connections and the joy and excitement and life they bring. And I didn't have the kids. I didn't have Kara. You know, I was missing something. Because inside we know that family is a blessing from the Lord. It really is something to cherish and value and love and nurture. And that truth is also part of why what we read taking place in Matthew 12, 46 to 50. That's Matthew 12, 46 to 50, if you want to turn there with me today. It's why the account we read there can sometimes be a bit of a head scratcher. Because in our passage, Jesus is going to almost seem like he's leaving his family standing out in the cold. It makes it seem almost as if either he's being disrespectful to his family, but we know that can't be the case because Jesus never sinned, or he values and views family somehow differently than we do. That can be confusing, and so we're going to unpack it together today in Matthew 12, 46 to 50 as we talk about our faith and our family together. These are the words that are recorded for us in the Gospel of Matthew, picking up here in chapter 12, verse 46. While Jesus was still talking to the crowd, his mother and brothers stood outside wanting to speak to him. Someone told him, "Your mother and brothers are standing outside wanting to speak to you." He replied to him, "Who is my mother? Who are my brothers?" Pointing to his disciples, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." As we begin to work together through this passage, the first thing we're going to see is that in the ancient Near East, family came first. In the ancient Near East, family came first. It's a sentiment that still holds true in many ways today. And we're going to see, especially as we pick up here in verse 46. Matthew sets the scene for us that this takes place while Jesus was still talking to the crowd. So he's tying it to what comes before. And in Matthew 12, we've been given a glimpse into what it's like to be Jesus even for a day. And just think about what Jesus has been through even in this day. So he went out and he was teaching and helping out in the crowds, and he was healing people. And, well, people brought this demon-possessed man to Jesus. And Jesus cast the demon out of him, and all of a sudden he could speak and see once again. And then he gets basically attacked by the Pharisees. And they say, "No, by the power of Satan, you're casting demons out of that man." And all of a sudden he's got this big conflict with them. And no sooner does he work through that than some other Pharisees come up. And they say, "Whoa, whoa, whoa. Listen, can't we all just get along? Listen, there's a simple solution to all of this, Jesus. Just give us a sign. Listen, just tear the heavens open, do something big and undeniable, and then we'll believe you are who you say you are. We'll believe you are the Messiah, but prove it to us first." Jesus finally gets things worked out with them, and he goes back to teaching and preaching and healing and ministering, and then, unannounced, Jesus' mother and brothers show up. And although Matthew doesn't give us the full context of their visit, we can find it in other gospel accounts. And let's just put it this way. They didn't show up because they want to sit at Jesus' feet and listen to him. They came because they had some questions about some of the things he'd been doing and the way he'd been approaching his earthly ministry, and were hoping to maybe talk some sense into him. And so while Jesus was still talking to the crowd, while he's still preaching to this massive group of people all tucked in there together, his mother and brothers stood outside. His mother and brothers arrived. So that's Mary, his mother. Joseph doesn't show up. Our best guess is that Joseph has passed away by the time that Jesus begins his earthly ministry. But he does have a number of brothers, and so it could be any number of them. It could be James, Joseph, Simon, or Judas. Not that Judas. It was just a very common name back then. But likely a number of his brothers are there with his mother as well. And it is worth noting, it does tell us a good deal about family in the ancient Near East, that they don't go in to talk to Jesus. They stand outside. Because you see, in Jesus' time, especially where family came first, and especially in their culture where you were to honor and revere your elders, like his mother Mary, it would be expected that Jesus would come out to them. That Jesus would put family first, that he would stop what he's doing, stop ministering, stop teaching, stop healing, and that he would then come out to them. In fact, they don't even like say, "James, you go in and get him." They expect that word will make its way to Jesus. Jesus will hear that they're out there. And that Jesus will stop everything he's doing and come and speak to his mother. Because again, in the ancient Near East, there was this attitude that says family comes first. And it is interesting. It's really amazing to me that, I mean, loads and loads have changed in the past 2,000 years. There is not a lot of cultural overlap between the ancient Near East and modern Midwestern America. But you know what? One thing, one value that has continued to hold true over that great, vast span of time? Family comes first. Well, we still have that attitude today that says family comes first. Isn't that why when you get your grandkids' schedules for fall baseball and for golf and for cross country, that you take those schedules, you put them up on your kitchen, you put them up in the kitchen on the refrigerator, you grab your calendar, and you write down every single one of those events, of those matches, of those games, because you are going to go to everyone humanly possible, because family comes first. In fact, you're already trying to figure out, all right, we've got a cross-country match in Dunlap, but we've also got a fall baseball game in Eureka happening at the same time. How are we going to go to both of those? Because you don't even want to miss a single one of them, because again, we kind of have that attitude that says family comes first. So if the grandkids are out there, you are going to be there. Family comes first. Isn't that why when you got that call yesterday from your mom saying, hey, I know it's short notice, but your sister just let us know that she and her family are going to be in town next weekend. And they were hoping that you and the kids would come down to Southern Illinois and we could do like a whole camping weekend thing together. You know that no matter how much you roll your eyes about it, no matter how much you say, this is so like my sister, to just call with no notice, to expect us to drop everything and just show up, no matter how much I have planned, and you had a full next weekend, we both know you may grumble about it under your breath, but where are you going to be next Saturday and Sunday? You're going to drag the kids down to Southern Illinois because family comes first. I know what you know. It's there. Family comes first. Isn't that why you hear your parents say to you things like this? No, you cannot stay home. You know, we've done this the first Friday of every month for almost as long as you can remember. We have Friday night dinners with Grandma Emily, and we do it every first Friday night together. Yes, you have to come. No, you can't stay here and watch TV. No, you can't go out with your friends. Family comes first. Take that winter jacket off. I know her house is 63 degrees, but you will just put a long sleeve shirt on and go, come on, just get in the van. Family comes first. And you drag them along. Like we all know it, right? That's just the world we live in. Culturally, even outside of Christianity, there's this idea that family comes first. But that's also part of what makes this passage so difficult, so challenging, because it almost seems like, I'm not saying this is what it says, I'm just saying it almost seems like Jesus is saying in this passage, forget family, church comes first. Forget family, church comes first. That's what it can almost seem like is happening as we pick up in verse 48. I mean, as someone comes in and says to Jesus, your mother and brothers are standing outside wanting to speak to you, I think what we would expect to happen, what everybody sitting there that day would have expected to happen, is for Jesus to nod his head, to turn to the people, to say, hey, listen, thanks, everybody. I really appreciate you coming out and listening to me today, and just love you guys. But my family just showed up, and we're going to stop for the day. I'm going to go catch up with my mother and brothers. Listen, if you want to continue to hear from me and hear what I'm doing, why don't you come and meet with us in Capernaum? That's kind of where we're headed next. Catch up with us then, but today we're going to be done. And you know what? I don't think anybody in that crowd would have said, pfft, Jesus is stopping so we can talk to his mom? I thought he was a good, godly, religious person. No, everybody's going to understand. Family comes first. But that's not what happens, though. Instead, he hears this news that his mother and brothers are standing outside wanting to speak with him. And he looks around. Looks at the people sitting there. And he says, "Who is my mother? Who are my brothers?" Pointing to the disciples, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." And from everything we read in this gospel account and those that follow in the other synoptic gospels, it's not like Jesus said this, then closed his Bible, then headed out to talk to his mom. Every indication we have in how this is presented is that Jesus then continues teaching as he was before he heard that his mother and brothers were there. And again, that creates some issues, right? Like some struggles for us, and that family comes first mentality. It can almost seem to us as if Jesus is saying, listen, forget family, church comes first. And if that's the case, that causes a number of different problems and potential issues for us. Because if that's what God is saying, then that means that, well, then you need to call your grandkids and say, listen, I'm sorry, I know that you only have tennis matches on Wednesdays this fall. But I can't come to any of them, not a single one, because I have to sign up for Awana as a listener. And because, you know, Jesus said, forget family, church comes first, I have to be there. I can't come to a single one of your matches. That's just the way it is. If that's the way this works, then you got to call your mom and your sister and say, listen, I know we haven't seen each other in, well, it's been almost, I think it has been a year. It happened around this time last summer. But I can't come down and spend the weekend with you guys because, you know, forget family, church comes first. So I can't miss Sunday morning to be with you. Now, some of you are sitting there thinking, is that a valid excuse? I'm going to write that one down next time. You're going to use that one on my sister-in-law. God is on my side. Forget family. What passage was that, Pastor? Sorry, I just don't want to make sure I get the right one to tell her. No, but I mean, you know what I'm saying? There's this tension there. Because as we're talking about this, what I'm saying, it doesn't quite sit right with a lot of your hearts, probably because part of you is wondering, well, isn't loving my family and honoring my father and mother and valuing my grandkids and you know, my nieces and nephews, isn't that part of what God wants me to do? And isn't that part of living out my faith? There shouldn't be a dichotomy where those two things are at odds. That doesn't seem right, that God would say, you've got to choose one over top of the other. There may also be some of you sitting here this morning who are sitting there thinking, listen, you might be saying, I grew up in a house like that. Or even, I tried to raise my kids like that. I've talked to a number of you that have looked back and said, you know what, we used to do it so that every time the church doors were open, you had to be here. There were no excuses. There were no exceptions. There was no other way to do it. And you've said to me, it didn't build love for God. It built some resentment, legalism, even some bitterness towards church, because it felt like there was this attitude that basically said, forget family, church comes first. We know that's not the case. We certainly know from just personal experience and the larger scope of the scriptures that's not an attitude Jesus wants us to have. In fact, there's a great passage in Mark 8, in Mark 7, where the Pharisees are basically trying to pull that type of thing, where they say to their parents, sorry, doesn't that we can't financially support you or help you? That money we would give to you normally, well, that's Corbin, that's set aside for God. And you know, it's got to be forget family, church comes first, so we can't help you. And Jesus says, how ludicrous is that? That's not what God would want. God doesn't have these core parts of our lives, our family and our faith, at odds with each other. But if that's not what we see here, if that's not what's going on, then the question becomes, well, what in the world is happening here? What does God want us to get from this passage? What is Jesus trying to teach those that were there that day? I think what Jesus wants us to understand from this passage is that we have a family that is much bigger than flesh and blood. That we have a faith family. Jesus is taking this idea that was alive and well 2,000 years ago as much as it is today, that family comes first, and he's saying, yes, you still understand that, but what you need to understand as a believer is that it's not just your flesh and blood family that we're talking about. Family comes first, and that includes your family of faith. Come back with me just into Matthew 12. And for just a moment, I want you to imagine that you're sitting there in the audience that day. I want you to put yourself in the shoes, well, probably sandals, of the people that were there listening to Jesus that day. You've been there. You've been listening all day. And it's been amazing. I mean, just the things you've heard, the things you've seen, like it's probably the best day of your life. And God's stirring something special here in your heart and soul for sure. And then, as you're really getting into it, you see someone kind of wading their way through the crowd. A murmur comes along behind that person, and about the time that that person gets Jesus up there, the rumors of what his message is quickly catch up to you, and you hear that Jesus' mother and brothers are waiting outside. And at that point in time, you know that the day's done. He's going to stop. He's going to send you home. He's going to take time for his mother and brothers because family comes first. And so you start to gather your things together to make the hour-long journey home. And you'll always remember this day. But after Jesus gets the message, instead of getting up to leave, he looks around. He looks at you. And he says, who is my mother? Who are my brothers? Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. Whoever does the will of my Father in heaven, and in that context, it's whoever honors Jesus as the Messiah, whoever is following and seeking after him. There's a contrast here between the crowds that want to follow and learn from Jesus and the Pharisees that have been in constant conflict with them all through chapter 12. And he's saying, here, you are my mother and my brothers and my sisters. How would you feel? How would you feel in that moment for Jesus to say, you are important, you are valuable, you are worth my time and efforts. You are not an inconvenience. You are not a burden. You are not something that I do but then quickly cast aside when something more important comes along. You are my priority because you are my mother and brothers and sisters. As he said that, wouldn't your face beam? Wouldn't your heart soar? Just to think for a moment that Jesus would care about you that much. You would retell that story 100 times. And you know what? In all the retellings, the point of the story would never be that Jesus said, forget family, church comes first, and he leaves his mother and brother standing outside. That's not how you're going to tell the story. That's not going to be the point. The point of the story, that what's going to stick with you for years and years, is that Jesus cared about you. That Jesus loved you, that as important as family is, that's how much Jesus loved you. You were as important to him as his earthly mother and brothers. That's what Jesus wants the crowd to understand today and that day, and that's what he wants us to understand this day. It's not about a conflict between our faith and our family, and one has to win over the other. Instead, Jesus is taking this idea of family that we know and love and embrace. And he's saying that as believers, yes, we know family comes first. But that includes a family of faith, not just our flesh and blood, brothers and sisters, parents, grandkids, and everybody else. And I think that's an important reminder for us. This idea that we have a family of faith, and we know that family comes first, because if we really believe that, if we understand that this is the type of thing it means then that we should be as intentional about cheering on the kids in our high school and junior high youth groups at their golf matches and baseball games and cross country meets in the fall as we are in cheering on our own grandkids, because they're a part of our faith family too. If we really believe this and understand it, it means we should be just as inclined to clear our schedule for next weekend and be willing to go and help a senior in church that needs some help moving from one place to the next, as we'd be willing to clear our schedule to go down and be with our sister in Southern Illinois. Why? Well, because they're family. And we believe family comes first, not just flesh and blood family, but our faith family as well. If we believe these words and they take root in our heart, it means that we are going to be as protective of our time together in worship once a week on Sunday mornings as we are those Friday night dinners with Grandma Emily that you make sure you go to every single month, because you know what? Family comes first. That means every single Sunday, you're doing everything you can to be here because it's important, because it's valuable, because it's not just about you being here with God, it's about you being together with your family of faith, wherever you may be. You see, it's about taking this, what we have together, the church, not as a building full of pews, but as a place full of people, and loving and caring for and valuing one another like family. And I think especially in a COVID-19 world, this is something that we need to be reminded of, because even with my own family, and I'm guessing with yours as well, in the current world situation, there's usually this attitude that says, there's a lot going on. There's a lot we got to sort through. This is what we're going to do. We're going to circle the wagons. We're going to take care of our family. And then if there's any time left, we'll do other things. But it's generally family comes first. Let's circle the wagons. Let's take care of our family together and make that a priority. And I understand that. But we need to remember that we have a family of faith, and we should be just as invested in caring for and checking in on and encouraging and building up one another. When we circle the wagons, it shouldn't be as, you know, 20 different individual families in and around Grace Bible Church. It should be as one Grace Bible Church family loving and caring for each other. We need each other through this. It's not just we need to take care of our flesh and blood families. We need to take care of our family of faith, because we are all in this together. And the only way we're going to get through whatever lies ahead, because let's be honest, none of us know even what next week will bring, let alone October, November, December. It's together. Not together as just you as individuals that come to Grace Bible Church or worship with us on Sunday mornings, but we need to come together as a family of faith. We need to take that idea that family comes first and embrace it, not in terms just of flesh and blood, but of our family of faith. Would you bow with me in prayer? Gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you and we lift up our family of faith even this morning, Lord. We lift up those that are at home that aren't able to be with us, maybe because of health concerns or something else that's going on in their life, Lord. Would you give them comfort and strength this week? Lord, would you use our faith family to check in on them, to encourage them, to build them up? Lord, I lift up all the kids in our faith family that are getting ready to go back to week in the next week or so, Lord. As they prepare to go back to school, some of them online, some of them in person, Lord, would you keep them safe? Would you help them learn and grow in these unprecedented times, Lord, because I know it can be a bit overwhelming. Lord, I lift up all of our teachers in our Grace Bible Church family as well, Lord. Would you give them wisdom and understanding? Because they got to figure out how they're going to teach in all this. Some of them on very short notice. Would you help them? Lord, I think of our doctors and nurses and our faith family that are out there on the front lines, Lord, ministering in the midst of this and showing your love and light to those that are hurting, Lord. Keep them safe. May your light shine brightly through them. Lord, I lift up all of us. And Lord, I just ask that you would help us in the week and the weeks ahead to see Grace Bible Church not simply as a church, but as a family. As a family of faith. And that we would love and care for one another as we would our own flesh and blood family. We pray these things in the name of your Son and by the power of your Spirit. Amen.